This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Just wondering what the threshold is you have to meet to get a personal day from the Bills, like to get an excused absence that they call personal. It can't just be anything, right?
No, I don't think it can just be anything.
Something serious in the family, of course, would,
sure, yeah.
would qualify.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I don't think just anything.
Like, I haven't been to Darien Lake yet this year.
Yeah,
would not qualify.
Yeah, or, you know. My kid has band practice. No.
It's like, what about a sick pet?
Hire a car service or something. I don't know.
What about a sick pet? We don't need to throw out hypotheticals, but Sal, any idea what it takes without sounding insincere or anything? I don't mean to, but just like, can anybody get an excused absence, or does it, you know, have to be to meet a pretty serious standard? If you know.
Well, I think anybody could get one, but I think it would have to meet a serious standard. Yeah, I mean, what is serious, though? We know that players have had those because they had children, like their wife or girlfriend was having a baby. We know that there's been deaths in the family, things like that, right? I mean, and then there could be a legal situation they have to tend to. There's a lot of things that could happen. So I'm sure, you know, there's got to be, you bring it to them and then they decide like, hey, yeah, that qualifies for you to not be here today.
Yeah. Like, for example, the Cowboys kicker last week had jury duty, didn't he?
Yep.
Like, yes, he did. Yes,
I mean,
that's right.
I don't know. This is not even the sort of thing you really got to ask. I think I got to go do this. Guys, can I go? Sure.
Lamar Jackson had today off. They called it a rest day. He was reportedly dealing with some sort of nagging injury, but they called it a rest day. Like, you know, probably different standards for different players, too.
Yeah, that's a tricky one, because if you have an injury that you're getting treatment on, as you guys know, I've explained, you have to be listed on the injury report with that injury. If it's just a rest day, it's a rest day. But, like, the Bills will typically write rest/ankle if it's something in addition to the rest day. Mm-hmm. Like last week with Terrell Bernard, for example, right? So, or that was personal/ankle, but you get
right.
The point.
Yep.
So, you know, if you're just going to be a veteran rest day, then it's general. Last week was Daquan Jones, I think it was. That's who it was. Maybe it was Smoot. It was rest/injury. So those things are always tricky, because this is actually something really interesting that has been coming up a lot lately, guys, which is the injury report. And I actually think I might write something on it on X, because there's like a lot of people who just maybe are really kind of freaking out about the number of injuries on the injury reports. And I will just tell you that the league is cracking down. Because of gambling, you have to list like anybody with anything. And everybody's got like a lot of guys now, it seems like. And the Dolphins, they have 16 guys on their injury report,
yeah,
right?
All across the league, the injury reports, I mean, I don't follow every beat writer.
That's right.
Or a beat writer for every team, I should say. But, you know, I follow plenty of them. And a lot of the national people that I follow will retweet them. So I'm seeing injury reports for maybe half the teams in the league every week. And, yeah, there's like a dozen names or more on every one, it seems.
And this is like, remember back in the day, you'd kind of like snicker because Bill Belichick would do that. Mm-hmm. Because they got mad at him one time for not listing Brady. So it's like, well, I'm going to list everybody. Well, now they get mad at you for anybody for not doing that. It's born mostly out of gambling, to be quite honest.
Sure. Well, because if a guy's got something minor and yep. they're only doing some of the stuff on Wednesday, that could turn into something more serious on Thursday or Friday mm-hmm. or even by Sunday. So everyone's got to know so they can be aware that it could be possible that this guy might not play.
That's right. So if I look at the Bills,
was there enough qualifiers on that?
Could yeah, there you go. That's right. What do the Bills have today? Like 18, 19 names, right? But it's funny. They've that many names, but literally no players on the active roster did not practice due to injury today. Right. Just the one personal day. Everybody else practiced.
That was Alex Anderson, I believe.
Alec, yep.
Alec Anderson, sorry. Mm-hmm. Amari Cooper is on the injury report. What happened to him?
Yeah. Very interesting today. We went to the media session with Sean McDermott at noon, and he said Terrell Bernard would be limited and Curtis Samuel would be limited as they work their way back. And then he said Amari Cooper's dealing with a wrist injury. He won't practice today. We're going to take it one day at a time. So obviously you're thinking, okay, let's hope this does, you know, this is not anything serious. We went out. He was with the wide receivers in uniform practicing. We're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? So watched him. I have some video. He was taking his warm-up reps. The question then becomes, does he take team reps? Because that's how an injury report limited and did not practice is decided. You could take all of your individual team, individual position work reps. If you don't take any team reps, you can still be listed technically as a did not practice. It would be rare for that to happen, but it could happen. At the end of the practice, he was listed as limited. So I would say that that's very encouraging, obviously. And look, I mean, people say, how could Sean McDermott not know? My guess is what would normally happen there is, you know, this has happened a few times over the years we've talked about. It's not normal, but Sean probably gets an update from the trainers in the morning. Hey, Amari's got a wrist issue. Let's just kind of take it easy on him today. He's not going to practice. And then he meets with us. He tells us that. And then by the time they go out there, a half hour later, maybe Amari met with the trainers. Hey, I'm feeling better. I want to give it a go today. Okay, let's try it. That could very well
sure.
explain that.
Yeah, yeah. I understand why that could be confusing from a standpoint of shouldn't the coach know everything, but that timeline explanation from you seems completely plausible to me, like a thing that could happen. I had one other injury thing I wanted to ask you about, and now it slipped my mind here. Over to you, Mike. Sorry.
Well, Von Miller, you want to ask about him? Because he's not an injury. I don't know if that was on.
No, I know. No, it was Milano. Thank you.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
I'm glad
Milano,
you asked.
Because yes. I saw a back and forth you had with one person who seemed to think McDermott sounded pessimistic about it or something, and I didn't get that vibe at all. He talked about it last week, too, and it seems like arrows pointing up on Milano. I mean, there's still no date here. They're not telling you week 15 or anything, but it feels like they expect him to come back at some point.
Yeah, so here's the issue, and I get it. I get why this can happen again. It's lost in translation. There's context that has to be involved. What happened was Josh Reed, our buddy from Channel 4, asked Sean McDermott. The question was, can you give us an update on Matt Milano? And he asked him in the form this way, and if there's still some hope that he can return this season. And Sean said, there is. And then he went into a lot more, which I tweeted and I did the transcript. So what I tweeted was Sean McDermott said there is still some hope for Matt Milano. People took that as meaning, oh, just some hope? Oh, my God, he's not coming back. Right? They're like, oh, you know, very pessimistic. Mm-hmm. That's not what happened. If you look at the full Q&A, if you go back and listen, I get the context and why I had to clarify for people to make sure everybody knew. He was really, to me, very optimistic about it, not pessimistic. And he said, you know, he's been a positive influence. He's been around the team. He's been at the games on the sidelines. He said, and I think we're moving in the right direction. Any more detail on that, I couldn't give you right now, but he did sound very encouraging on Matt Milano. So yeah, that's why I had to clarify because he didn't use the word there's some hope. What he did was answer a question was, hey, is there some hope? Yes, there is. Right. And that's what happened.
So when you tweet, Sean McDermott said there's some hope that he could come back. It's like people think you're quoting like Dumb and Dumber or something,
yeah.
right? Like you're saying there's a chance.
That's right, yeah. Which, so I deleted that original one and just kind of clarified with the full transcript so everybody could get the full context.
Okay. Well, you brought up Von Miller. So like what's the situation there? And is there any roster machinations that have to happen there?
There is not. So Von Miller is back at practice. He's not counting in the 53 right now, though. The Bills have a roster exemption through next weekend, so through the game. However, this is another thing that confused everybody last night, but I looked into it, made sure, so here's the deal. The Bills only have 52 players on their roster right now. That's because they put Dwayne Carter on IR last week. They did not replace him. Von Miller is not counting on their roster. They have a roster exemption. However, once they activate him for the game, he will count on the roster. So they have a choice. They can activate him for the game, and he will play. That has to be done by Saturday at 4 p.m., and there's your 53 guys, and that's the maximum you can have. Or they can choose to not activate him and sign somebody else or trade for somebody else, but then he wouldn't play on Sunday. He's going to be activated by Saturday at 4 p.m., and they're going to have 53 guys, and that's where that's going to land.
How does a player work out, or as far as you know, in this case, Von Miller, mm-hmm. when he's on suspension for 4 weeks?
You do it on your own. You have that's up to you to basically, you know, do what you need to do.
But he's not, like, as it was said today, he's back with the team. So I guess the 4 weeks is kind of a banishment.
Like, he has to be away.
He can't be in their weight room or anything.
That is correct. So when you are suspended by the NFL for personal conduct violation or gambling, anything other than substance abuse, violation of the substance abuse policies, you cannot be at the facility. Now, I shouldn't say it that strictly. There might be something else in there, right? But basically, any sort of personal conduct policy violation, you cannot be at the team facility. You are away. You are suspended without pay by the league. Then you can come back when the suspension is over. If it's for a substance abuse issue, they do allow, and I don't think this has changed. I know it was mm-hmm. in the past. They do allow you to be at the facility because the facility has treatment for you.
Right.
And there's people there you can talk to and see, which would make sense, right? So he was not allowed to be at the facility for 4 weeks.
And so, I mean, just cursory observation, but, you know, maybe he's fresher. He didn't have any football mm-hmm. wear and tear over those four games, and he was showing some signs before he went away.
I agree. I mean, I thought he played really well before he was suspended, and it's going to be a nice boost for the Bills. And at his age, you get him back now, that's halfway through the season. The load management they're already doing with him, they'll probably continue to do with him. I think, you know, this is a situation where he comes back pretty fresh, like you said. And look, I think Von Miller, Hall of Famer, guy that's been known to, you know, take care of his body really well, I would have no questions that he did that during his time away. And he's going to come back like that. It's the same thing I think about Matt Milano from the standpoint of, he hurt his bicep, right? So he actually got an extra several months with the leg injury that he was coming back from. So when he comes back, he'll actually be even maybe stronger and better with the leg than, you know, what would have happened originally if he had not hurt his bicep. So, I mean, guys, we could be looking at over the next 5 weeks, let's say. I don't know. I'm just putting my own rough timeline on it. This is not from the Bills. We could be looking at maybe the next 5 weeks. Maybe they have an addition of Von Miller and Matt Milano, who are both of, you know, good health coming back.
Sal Capaccio on the web.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's your hotline, pouring over the news of the day from Bills practice. They're getting ready to host the Miami Dolphins on Sunday at 1 o'clock. How about the Dolphins, Sal? They get Tua back. The offense at least got off the mat in this loss against Arizona, but it was still yet again another loss for them. So, I don't know. They got to be feeling some urgency to get up and running here at 2-5.
Guys, I would say it this way, not just urgency. I think their season's pretty much on the line this weekend. I really do. I don't know. Now, mathematically, could they still make the playoffs if they lose this game? Of course, right? We've seen maybe similar kind of situations happen, but I just think it's such a tough uphill climb, and You know, if you're dropping that far back, you're not going to win the division. We would know that. You'd have to beat the teams in your conference. Now, it is a little bit softer right now in that part of it to make it. But, man, I just don't know how they climb out of it. I think this is really their season here. And what's interesting is, you know, I do follow every week. I check in on the media members from the opposing team to see what's going on. And really the theme coming out from Miami this week is, A, season's on the line. Like, they have to go to Buffalo and pull off the upset or it's probably lights out. But the other thing that's been coming up a lot is, how did they get here? Like, yes, Tua's hurt. We know that, and that obviously hurt their season. But more than that, the big picture, they were literally, you know, two quarters away from winning the division from the Bills last year. And this was supposed to be the year maybe where they got to level or pass them after what's happened the last few years. But there is now a chasm that has been created in how wide the gap is getting. And it feels like there's just no overcoming that because of their cap situation and their roster situation.
Which does turn hard the other way if they were to win this one game. You know, like finally winning up here and, you know, then maybe they're looking at last year and they're like, well, it happened to us. So
that's right.
I don't know. What's interesting, one thing that's interesting about the AFC standings right now, so Miami is 2-5. There are six teams worse than that in the AFC. 2-6, 1-6. So including the Dolphins, I've got nine teams, seven make it, that, you know, are better than 2-5 is all. That includes Cincinnati at 3-5, and then you'd have Indianapolis at 4-4. Everybody else right now has a playoff record. And so I know, like, last week I was hot on this, and the Dolphins and the Jets both lost. But there's still enough season here for one of Jacksonville. I mean, for one of these teams that's down like that to get in.
Heck, I'll give you a team. I think Cleveland, right? What they did last week against Baltimore. I mean, they have a good defense. And if Jameis Winston can, you know, not, you know, be a turnover machine, I think they have a look at it. I think that they could win some games. The problem is they're in a very tough division. But you're right, Mike. I mean, hey, with Joe Flacco, you never know. I think next week, that's a much tougher game for the Bills against Indy with Joe Flacco instead of Anthony Richardson. I believe that. I think Joe Flacco really is the better quarterback for them right now. But you're right. I mean, a couple of these teams string together a couple of wins, and suddenly you're right back in the thick of it. I mean, the Chargers are holding down the last spot at 4-3 right now. I mean, what, you know, that can't be too threatening if you're trying to climb back into it. Denver's 5-3, and they haven't played Kansas City yet. So you figure maybe that's two losses for them if you're on the outside looking in.
Yeah, and at some point I'm just going to have to make friends with the idea that the Steelers might just stay in there. Because, like, up until last week, I think I would have included them with the Chargers and Denver. Like, oh, come on. Three of these teams that are in spots right now aren't really going to be playoff teams, are they? Come on. I mean, Pittsburgh just keeps finding a way.
Have you looked at their schedule, though, after the
bye? I know it is super hard. Brutal. Yes, it's
it
brutal.
Is, and they have four division games in a row, and it's, yes, it's very, they have to play all the division games still. They have not played a division game yet. It's unbelievable. They get the Ravens twice, the Browns twice, and the Bengals twice the rest of the way, on top of Kansas City, Philadelphia, and the Washington Commanders. Okay. I mean, so yeah, it's going to be tough for them, but they put themselves in a nice position here.
I'm glad we got to the Steelers, because you just sent us a message about what something that happened in their game the other night that I don't think has come up. I didn't think get to it at all yesterday. And the George Pickens 2 feet down, but it was the same foot twice, and that's not the same as 2 feet down. You polled some Bills skill players about this?
I did. I just was really curious what – and I mean, I could predict the results of an informal poll, which is the defenders are going to say, yeah, no way that can be a catch. And the receivers and pass catchers will say, of course that should be a catch. We should change that rule. That's pretty much what happened today. What I did was I went in the locker room after the practice or outside the locker room, saw some guys. I go, all right, I got a question for you. Did you see the George Pickens non-catch? Some had seen it, some hadn't. So I showed them on my phone, or I explained to them and was showing them and saying, well, this is what happened. And he got the right foot down, then he was pushed, and he got another right foot down, and then his butt hit out of bounds. And really, as you would expect, it was divided amongst offensive and defensive, you know, lines. But there were, like, Terrell Bernard's like, man, that just, like, Yeah, I mean, I can understand. Like, you should probably give him the catch maybe, but hey, that's the rule.
Right.
You know, Matt Collins was very upset about it because he said, look, that is the rule. But he said a couple years ago he got two toes down, and then when his heels hit out of bounds, he was called for out of bounds, and he thought that was unfair.
I've seen that, yes.
Yeah, Cam Lewis. But the funniest was Cam Lewis and KJ Hamler were kind of really, in a very fun way, going at it. Like, KJ Hamler was beside himself. He had no idea, guys. I showed him. And he didn't even know that was the rule. He's like, what are you talking about? How is that not a catch?
Sal,
like,
I just told Mike,
after
you sent the message, that if I'd been in a bar watching that game without the sound on, watching that highlight over and over again, I might have been standing on my stool yelling, that's a catch, 1 foot, 2 feet,
right.
What are we even doing here? Like, it's one of these deals where you watch this sport your whole life and think you know the rules and go like, oh. I blame all the replay reviews for what is a catch, because they often go 1 foot, 2 foot. And I know that's usually a left and a right, or then a right and a left, or whatever. It's, you know, each of the feet represented equally as touching. But 1 foot, 2 foot, I didn't know it mattered if it was the same foot.
Yeah, every time
I'm in the locker room. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm sorry. Every time you say that, I know what's next is going to be red foot, blue foot, or something. I feel like you're breaking into Dr. Seuss every time. But anyway,
well, listen,
sorry.
And it does say in the rule book, we looked it up, it says you must have both feet. Does that say two? It says both.
Okay.
Right. Yep. So it's clear there. But the funny thing was, in the locker room, like, I'm talking to these guys, and we're like, well, look, if you catch the ball and hold up a guy's leg, and the other leg is hopping 10 times, does not matter. He can hop 10 times. If he didn't put the other foot down, you drive him out of bounds like that, it's not a catch. And that was the one where they're like, this is ridiculous, right? So the craziest part of all this, though, was now I know I'm really getting old, because then I explained, I had no idea, I explained to Taron Johnson and Christian Benford today that there used to be a rule that if the referee thought you were going to come down in bounds, but you pushed the guy out, that they would count it.
Right.
Taron Johnson, I mean, He was like, what? He was laughing. Like, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There's no way that was a rule. I'm like, it was a rule, Taron.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And Christian Benford's like, what are you talking about?
This is the Carolyn Shoup rule. We were watching a game. Cleveland, Arizona. Kellen Winslow Jr. made a catch in the end zone. And it didn't count, or whatever it was. It was this play. And she's like, well, that's stupid. They should change it. So, you know, just
they did.
You have to be in bounds for it to count.
Yeah.
And they did.
It was that way for more of our lives than the way it is now, right?
Oh, yeah.
By a lot.
This
2008. I looked it up.
Okay.
2008 was the change. And then I realized, man, it's like these guys, right? They came in the league. You know, Taron Johnson, he's even older than Christian. And Taron came in what, 2019, I think it was, 18 or 19.
Right.
And that's 10 years after they changed the rule, right? He's probably 8 years old. He doesn't know at the time. Benford's looking at me, and Rasul Douglas knew it, though, which is no surprise probably to you guys. Rasul's like, oh, yeah, like, totally subjective, like, ridiculous.
It's the one rule change of our lifetimes that went against offense.
Yes.
Like, now you have to...
Right.
I think my wife's argument was, it's already too hard to officiate the sport efficiently.
Right.
Why make it that much harder by having the official have to guess where the feet were going to be? Why not just go by where the feet are?
Yeah.
That seemed like good logic.
Maybe we should just change it to if you leave your feet but end up, as long as you're in the field of play, when you leave your feet, you come down with the ball completely out of bounds, catch.
Ooh.
I don't want more.
Oh, that'd be a little harder to adjudicate too, maybe, though. I don't know, to look at that. I will tell you, though, it was phenomenal watching the expression on Taron Johnson's face when I explained to him about the old rule. Like, he could not believe it.
Quickly, Jalen Virgil. We do this every day. Did the name Jalen Virgil ever get said the whole summer? Well, he wasn't on the Bills till late August. But anyway, Shavers, the other guys, KJ Hamler, these guys we bring. Jalen Virgil gets the call in Seattle.
To basically go in motion a bunch of times.
Isn't that funny? Like, every time he's on the field, he was going in motion somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, I have a thought on that. I just wonder if that's like, hey, we're going to do this. And then, you know, they never gave it to him. And then maybe down the road they have to use the guy and they give it to him, right? And they they're kind of kind of warming you up or setting you up for something. Look, I think that this might have come down to as well that you only get really two elevations. The third one you'd have to go through waivers to go back down to the practice squad for these guys, and they'd already elevated Shavers once, not Hamler. So maybe they just felt, you know, this was what they wanted to do in this particular regard. But also, look, I mean, you earn your spots, and the Bills will always say that. Hey, you practice all week, and you know, we're gonna, if there's a spot there, then you know, we'll elevate based on those things. And you know, he obviously earned it.
Virgil did play in 9 games last year. No, 2 years ago, actually, for the Broncos. So he has a little bit of NFL experience.
Yep. His first ever NFL catch went for a 66-yard touchdown, I believe.
Oh, that's when you hang it up?
All done.
I came here to accomplish that. I did it. I'm going. Got 2 feet in. Both feet in, rather. And I'm moving on. All right, well, good for Jalen Virgil. Sal, thanks.
You got it.
All right, it's our man Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I'm ready for a Justin Jefferson or somebody that's elite to do that play you mentioned where you just 1 foot 10 times just to show off, hop all the way to the end zone, and you haven't gotten your second foot down yet until you get to the end zone, and then bam. Are you not entertained? 803-0550, our number. What is the most promising sign about the Bills' season so far? Encouraging. Keon Coleman, we talked about the defense a little bit earlier when discussing this. Love to hear your thoughts. Again, the number, 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.